Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 11th of May, recording at 8:09 p.m. British Summer Time. Okay, let's start with the stock markets in terms of the short to medium term outlook. First, following yesterday's very sharp declines, which included a little bit of acceleration, we have short-term oversold conditions. Also, stock market indices are still within trading ranges. In other words, the previous upward trends that commenced in March 2003 have now been broken. And while we have some short-term downtrends, that these are really within what are overall sideways ranging patterns. And of course, one of the $64,000 questions is, will they continue to range in these patterns or break down decisively? And it's probably, I'd put it 55-45 in favor of the downward break. But first, because we're oversold, and because markets, most indices are back somewhere near their March reaction lows, it would doesn't take too much imagination to appreciate that we could see some steadying in here. Now, a dead cat bounce, in other words, minimal rally on light volume, wouldn't convince anyone, and that would suggest that we were going to head south again, fairly soon. In other words, break out of these ranges and probably get a medium-term correction instead of one of these sort of 2 to 3 week wonder-type moves that we've been seeing in recent months within the trading range. Now, among the factors that I think are very negative, and let's just mention all of these before, but it's always a good idea to review them. Negative factors. First, there's interest rates. And although the U.S. bond market has not broken down through beneath that August low yet, and that is an obvious temporary support level, I mean, we've seen precious little in the way of a rally so far, although it's a bit higher in here today. In other words, the bond futures are a tiny bit higher in here today at 104.19. That's up 7.30 seconds. In the short term, probably, the market has spent enough time worrying about interest rates. In other words, it's discounted rising interest rates, quite possibly in June, if not June, almost certainly August. And therefore, it's probably discounted that risk unless the U.S. bond market weakens once again. I'm talking about the government bond market, of course. Now, because they've discounted the prospect of rising interest rates doesn't mean that that's suddenly become a bullish factor, because it remains a negative. It's just we've discounted it for the time being, I'm saying. Other factors that I think are considerably more worrying, well, I think the Iraq situation and the whole Middle East situation in general is by far the biggest concern at the moment. There's an enormous amount of uncertainty. There's also a loss of confidence in terms of U.S. effectiveness and moral authority. And at least that is the way most of the rest of the world feels. So that's a problem. It's obviously a problem for stock markets. It's not the sort of thing, any kind of loss of confidence, either in the power or effectiveness or moral authority of a country, is not an inducement to go in and buy its stocks and bonds and currency. Although I appreciate there are other considerations and relative concerns regarding other currencies, stock markets, and effectiveness of governments. Then we have the uncertainty over the presidential election, which is probably, well, the polls are probably bad accurate. It's a coin flip situation at this time, and the market's not going to actually like that very much. And then last but not least, we have the price of crude oil. Now, we had a statement from Saudi Arabia that produced a reaction yesterday. Today, well, the spot close NYME is at a new high in here, 40.06. And that'll grab a few headlines tomorrow. So that's a negative factor. And I've been talking in earlier audios and comments of the day that just saying that we were going to see an energy shock, in inverted commas. Not a shock because this wasn't something that one couldn't anticipate. It's been discussed here and elsewhere on plenty enough occasions, but because the market really hasn't focused on it all that much, except until the last couple of weeks. Now, on the other side of the scales, we have, of course, the synchronized global economic recovery, the fact that interest rates are still quite low, and the fact that the corporate profits figures reported by companies are certainly bullish. Now, I won't go into all the business of dissecting that and saying, well, is it everything but the bad stuff? In other words, all that EBITDA reporting. And I won't talk about the hedonics in terms of the GDP growth figures, particularly out of the United States. We've been over that ground before. And perception is reality in this business, and the perception certainly is, in terms of most investors, is that we do have a synchronized global economic recovery. Okay, it's not as strong in Europe as it has been in the United States and Asia for sure, but nevertheless, it's been a long time since we'd seen a synchronized global economic recovery, and the corporate profits recovery has been fairly dramatic, albeit coming off very, very weak profits during the previous economic slowdown and recession in the post-bubble environment. Now, my feeling, though, overall, as I've said many times, is that the economic recovery and the improved profits is what last year's stock market rally was all about. So, really, I feel that the uncertainties and the problems that I mentioned are the current issues overall, and are therefore likely to outweigh the positive factors in people's minds. So where does that actually leave us? Well, I maintain that of the three things stock markets can do, go up, move sideways, in other words, extend the sideways ranges that we've seen in recent months, or go lower, I continue to maintain that the scope for a significant rise, and let's put that into context now, beyond, I was saying that when we were at the top of the range, now that we're at the lower side of the range, slightly different context, but the scope of a significant rise by stock market indices above the current established trading ranges is very low. The possibility of further sideways extension within the trading ranges is quite high. I put it at about, to get really rough guess, seat of the pants guess, 45%. And I put conservatively the risk of a further downward move over the next couple of months or more as a higher possibility, say 55%. And I say that's conservative. And Wall Street will be the biggest influence in this by far. Well, how to play it? Well, I'm short overall, and a little bit of an adjustment in those short positions, as you will note from today's comment of the day. And I'm quite content to remain with an overall short position. I'll ride out this technical rally. Well, I hope I ride out this technical rally. There is a risk, as we saw with the NASDAQ today, as I saw with the NASDAQ today, that stock markets can rally enough to not only erode profits, but paper profits that I have, but to trigger stops on my other contracts, because I have wanted to hold on to at least half the profit that's available. As from yesterday's lows on the remaining positions. Okay, now moving on overall. Let's see. Bond markets, I've already covered that. A little bit of a firmer tone in the U.S. bond market. Also, gilts. The bunds were down slightly. They all look like shorts on rallies to me. Just to step back for a moment in terms of stock markets, you know that I've hedged my Asian positions and a few golds. I feel that this possible script of, say, 2 months and maybe a bit more on the downside, and then a decent setting the market, if we get that could easily set markets up for a good rally, say, in commencing in August or September, but probably not moving above the highs, much above the highs that we've already established. Matter of fact, a good rally would be getting anywhere near close to those levels. Golds, I did comment on those, and I, looking at that Newmont mining chart, that's really getting back within say $6 or so of that very, very big base formation. This is really beginning to look interesting, once again. And well, I think it's in a buying range. I can't say, as I said in the comment of the day, I can't say that we've seen the actual low. But in terms of downside risk from today's prices relative to upside potential over the medium to longer term, I suspect that we are now in one of the better buying ranges. Looking at currency markets now, we've seen, well, I haven't been watching those too much today. So what's going on here? The important one that I have kept an eye on really has been the euro dollar, and that dipped down, really testing the low, got down to one for the euro, reaction low for the euro, 117.90, but is currently trading at 118.62. Now that's only up 13, 14 ticks on the day, but it is still holding in the lower side of this range. Overall, I think we've seen most of the dollars rally, but there is scope for a surprise, and the surprise, it's not hard to script that. The surprise would be that too many people are still maintaining dollar carries of one form or another. But if one can trust the scuttlebutt that we pick up in financial TV, from financial TV, this and the way people are now forecasting, so I would say that there's a significant minority who are dollar long in here right now, that maybe that dollar carry trade isn't as big as some people still think it is. But at any rate, the dollar is near some prior resistance levels. Again, I can't say that this rally that we've seen is over, but I suspect that we've seen the best of it. Now, the dollar will be crucial in terms of how the precious metals actually perform, as you know. Let me get on to that in a second. Some of these other currencies, my euro yen, that's backed off a little bit here, 134.35. Remember, it had gotten up to 135 yesterday. I'm still using an in-the-money stop on that. It's the only currency position that I have. Sterling was softer in here today, 175.63 against the dollar. So again, as I say, that we still don't have any evidence that this dollar rally is over, although I'm repeating myself now, but my suspicion is we've seen the best of it. A U.S. stock market sell-off would not be dollar positive. Higher oil prices will not be dollar positive, in my view, but equally, I wouldn't make a case that they're massive dollar negatives. The Iraq situation, I think, is certainly a dollar negative. Okay, moving on now to the commodity markets. Gold dipped down to 374.60. Its high on the day was 380, closed around 378 overall. Again, oversold in the short term. I still don't have conclusive evidence that it's bottomed, or I don't have even tentative evidence that it's bottomed, but my gut tells me that this is getting pretty cheap in here, and that compared with, say, the reaction that we had in the first half of last year, it's almost of the same size. And you remember how bearish people were becoming towards the end of that reaction. And we have the same sort of sentiment in here today. So again, I maintain that gold is in the accumulation zone. I haven't been accumulating the gold, although I might well do that before long, and the gold bullion securities. Now under the code, that's the London traded paper gold. That's GBS, now space LN for London. Used to be, the code used to be GBSA. That might well be a candidate, but I suspect I'd go for the shares myself because they've had such a big setback overall. So I'll certainly consider that, but I have taken a major stake in the silver, as you know, rather too large. I've been a bit cavalier with that, and I've confused my love of sport with the task of money making. And when I, at any rate, treat the task of money making as sport, well, the money making usually suffers. It can too easily turn into money eroding. But it certainly looks quite deeply oversold. I notice it's bouncing a little bit here in the after hours. I'm trading 559 on the July contract, but that's still down a whacking 17.5 cents on the day. I did nibble a little more on the baby steps basis, as you know. Now, one factor that may be contributing to that is the price of oil. I'd quoted that a little earlier. It's trading 40 to 40.25 here right now. So that's one heck of a move in here today. I'm relieved to still be long the natural gas trade, although ruining my caution and not increasing it yesterday. Now, in the metals area also, quite interesting in the base metals. I've been fearing that I was going to get roasted in that tin market because I bought it badly right at the high side of the range, and I might break out of the range on the upside. And of course I bought up at the 9,000 level, 3 months tin, and then immediately the dollars started to rally, and tin fell back within its range. But it was up $225 here today at 8,750, so not looking at all good. But the siren call here is the backwardation, because the cash tin closed at 9,203, and that's a whacking great backwardation here, as you can see. 453 points, $453 to be exact. That's so there's obviously still a shortage. Now, if the other metals don't start to steady up, then tin will suddenly plunge out of this trading range. That's the risk. So I better be sensible. I will be sensible tomorrow and put in a stop on this position. But some of the other metals did steady. Aluminium, all the others had taken hits in here today. The only one that didn't steady, I notice, is nickel, which is down a little bit. But lead, silver, not silver, sorry, lead, copper, running through the base metals, tin, aluminium, they were all firmer in here today. And again, I think that this supply and elasticity theme remains a very, very important theme for the year going forward, and no doubt beyond the year. We've had the big China scare story. We've had the big shakeout of the hedge funds. The trouble with this environment, though, that we have today, is that it really is dangerous. And you're probably tired of hearing me say that this is a dangerous environment. I'm contrasting it to a trending market environment. Now, when those industrial metals and when the precious metals and the mining shares were trending higher, the easiest part of this game, in terms of both forecasting and investing in trading, is to ride a trend. And you can protect your position, whether leveraged or unleveraged, with trailing stops. And then if you get small reactions within the trend, you can add to the position, or you can add on breakouts to new recovery highs within the trend, or ditto within a downtrend. I'd just as happily short a sector if there's big downside potential, is buy a sector if there's big upside potential. But trend running, as they say, is the easiest, or I should say least difficult, part of the whole game. But when you get something such as mining shares, precious metals, base metals, that I feel at any rate are in long-term secular bull markets, the brutal reality is that that's a hypothesis. And another reality is that the trends, the nice consistent orderly trends that we saw on the way up, have been broken. Now, a number of these markets have plunged and look quite cheap, and therefore I'm interested. But to go in and buy a market that looks cheap is riskier than buying a market within a consistent trend, because that market, the market that looks cheap without the consistent trend, can become cheaper and cheaper still. So there we are. And anything else that I can mention here? I'll just give a last wrap here on Wall Street. The last half hour will be the crucial one, but modest gains, the best of which is in the NASDAQ index, but the Dow's up 6 as I speak. The S&P, I have a short in the S&P, that's up 5, and the NASDAQ composite is up 29. Have a splendid evening.